a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. This is where the healing begins. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being part of Cradle My Heart Radio this weekend, and thank you for making us part of your weekend. I'm your host, Kim Cotola, and really excited for this evening's broadcast for a number of reasons, including the fact that we're going to hear from a woman who will share her story, and it may resonate with you. And I hope that if you have experienced any of the adversity, challenges, any of the struggles in life that our guest has, that you will begin to find a direction for healing, if not some very direct comfort from the conversation tonight. Our guest is Michelle Durand, who's a life and business coach and founder of Tears to Treasures, which helps women and men find healing and closure from past abortion experiences. Michelle, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much, Kim. I'm so honored to be here with you.
You know, you have been very public with your story, and that's a separate story in itself, how you get to be so direct in helping one another and in reaching out. I think it's a sort of a degree of healing that some attain to, and I certainly want to hear about that. But before we do that, I just want to give you the chance. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about Tears to Treasures, because people may want to know how to access the help that you offer there.
Tears to Treasures is a organization that I founded after I started helping women come to terms with their past abortions. And as they went through the healing process, I myself had gone through my healing process prior. So as I started to lead these women down their healing process, I started to see that during that journey, all of their tears would just accumulate, and then in their heart, it would just turn into something, a beautiful treasure. So all of the pain and the heartache that they had from their abortion or whatever they were holding on to that was causing them so much pain in their heart that they were finally able to release and process those feelings became a treasure to them. And that time that they took for themselves to self-heal and self-care and to just allow their feelings to come up just became a beautiful treasure, and it was a treasure to me as well. And that's when the name came to me, Tears to Treasures. And the website is the same, Tears, and then plural, and then T-O, and then treasures, plural, .com. And, they can find more information there, and they can absolutely contact me through there. But that's how Tears to Treasures came about in 2001 in Sugar Land, Texas.
So you do peer counseling. I mean, what do people expect when they get in touch with you?
Yes, it is peer counseling to help them at whatever. It could be abortion. It could be I've had women come through our program who had had a miscarriage. It could be that they had a stillborn baby. I've helped some women who've been pregnant, viably pregnant, and the baby is just no longer alive inside of them. And it's still a loss, and it's different because, yeah, it wasn't their choice. But sometimes abortion isn't their choice either. So, you know, it's all a loss. And my heart is that if any woman is grieving from any type of infant loss, that they would be able to find some kind of reconciliation and healing, because it goes on to affect so many other areas of their life, and especially other children, if they do have children currently or in the future.
Hmm. And Michelle, so let's talk about, you know, how you, the School of Hard Knocks. It's like, how were you drawn into this? Tell us your story. And let's go back to the beginning and talk about, you know, what were the circumstances, first of all, whether or not you were in an unplanned pregnancy, or just what was your experience?
For me personally, yeah, I was in an unplanned pregnancy, so it was definitely a surprise. It was a shock. I wasn't excited about it. So I made the decision to have an abortion, and I felt like that was the simplest, quickest, easiest decision for everyone. I thought, that's what I thought. And then after I had the abortion, I realized that was not the case for me. And I continue to suffer because of this was, I just want to clarify that this was a long time ago. So this was in 2000, this was in like 19, like over 25 years ago. My kids are over 25 now. So this was about almost 30 years ago. And back then it was extremely not talked about ever. So it was very a hush-hush secret. And, so that caused me to suffer very long for many, many, many years, including years that I already had given birth to two other children, began parenting them, and really realized that, wow, I never really dealt with this whole abortion thing. And, you know, why am I so worried that something's going to happen to my children? I'm so overprotective, and I'm so paranoid, and, you know, I had these emotions that were coming up as I was trying to raise my kids because they were 2 and 3 at this time, and I realized that I really need to take some time and allow myself to process my abortion experience for what it was to me.
Hmm. How old were you when you, and tell us a little bit about the relationship with the father of that child.
So I was in high school. We were both in high school. He was actually getting ready to graduate, and I was going to be graduating two years behind him. So when we found out we were pregnant, we were both very young. And, I mean, he hadn't even graduated from high school yet. So we just decided, like, we just were too young. And we really didn't know enough about it. I mean, I'm very thankful for the information out there today, because back then there was nothing out there. So you blindly went into the abortion experience. And so that's what happened to me. And we both regretted it afterwards. And we both suffered a very long time. He and I are still friends to this day. And I know that he's behind me 100%. He supports me speaking publicly about this because he wants men to also find healing.
What was the experience like in the aftermath? You mentioned suffering. I mean, I don't know, for me, it would be this cycle of denial and despair. You know, when the despair would get really awful, I would deny that anything was wrong. Well, it was the best that I could do. And then I would try to just stop thinking about it. And then horrible thoughts about God hates me, I'm going to hell, all sorts of, you know, misguided, ignorant religious thoughts, you know, and then when that became intolerable again, go back to the denial. It was really kind of an internal struggle. You know, I soldiered on, and people probably wouldn't have known that there was anything wrong. Describe what your struggle was like. Was it interior? Were you acting out? I mean, this, I know it takes many, many different forms with different individuals.
Yes, and I can tell you that my overall theme from the time I had my abortion until, like, the time I realized I needed healing was anger. Anger is what drove me. Anger, I was angry at everyone around me because I was angry with myself for putting myself in that, for getting pregnant, for putting myself in that situation, and then, you know, going, then having to deal with the circumstances that I found myself in. And I was just angry, and I lashed out, and it really affected relationships. It definitely affected my relationship with him because, I mean, that's very difficult because a man and a woman process feelings extremely different. So, you know, he's trying to process the loss. I'm trying to process it. And we're processing it completely different. And we're lashing out at each other. And so I can definitely, we weren't married, you know. I mean, so it's like I counseled a couple before. And I couldn't believe they stayed together. And it's so hard. And I commend them for getting counseling, but it's hard on relationships because when we're angry, we look to blame. And, you know, it's huge. We put a lot of responsibility on everybody else in our lives for the pain that we're in. And I was hurting, so hurting people hurt other people. Yeah. And that's what I did.
Isn't that
true?
And
it made everything worse. And that just compounds. And that's where, you know, you hear about post-abortion syndrome. What is a syndrome? A syndrome is a bunch of different, my mind went like, but, you know, it's like a lot of different things, but a lot of different issues, like, together, bundled together. And that's just a kind of snowball when something's not dealt with.
Sure. So Michelle Durand is our guest, and we've got to take a short break here. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-811-3003. If you have a question, you can always call confidentially without mentioning your name, and we will respect your privacy. But please, if you'd like to join us, do call. Back after a short break with our guest, Michelle Durand, here on Cradle My Heart Radio. Stay with us.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Something special is happening at Faith Radio. The ministry is growing through new radio stations and strengthened signals around our network. Our online presence is thriving at our website and through the Faith Radio app. And it's been such a blessing to partner with amazing organizations to impact our communities and world for Christ. To God be the glory. You can stay informed on the latest Faith Radio news by reading our ministry updates at myfaithradio.com.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
We are live, and we would welcome your phone call, and we will respect your privacy. You can give us an alias or just say, I want to be anonymous, but we would love to have your voice in the conversation at 1-800-811-3003. We're talking about recovery from abortion. We're talking about how in the world to process the loss and release the loss. Our guest is Michelle Durand, who is the founder of Tears to Treasures, and she has spoken publicly many times about her journey of recovery after abortion. And Michelle, one of the first things that you said was about letting go. And you also said something as the segment was coming to a close there about, you know, dealing with loss. Now, I know that this was one of the most difficult things for me to impart, and it continues to be, I think, when we talk with those who aren't really well informed about this dynamic, that abortion is a grief issue. You know, our culture still hasn't accepted that abortion equals the loss of the life of an unborn child. And so they don't get it if someone is grieving that loss. Let's talk about the letting go. I have some thoughts about it. I'd love to hear yours.
I totally agree with everything you just said, 100%. And that's what breaks my heart, because society doesn't give us the space or the opportunity in general to process feelings that we have, especially for something that is not so publicly spoken about, such as abortion or, you know, any type of loss that involves something that people are uncomfortable about, because everyone has their own different feelings and issues. So we don't know what other people are going through. And so everyone kind of wants to pat each other on the back and say, it's okay, let it go, because they don't want to see us hurting either. So if they don't know how to help us, they just say, it's okay, let it go, because they don't know what else to say. And that's why I love speaking. That's why I've always spoken publicly about this. I don't speak only to people who've had abortions. I speak to everyone, because everyone knows someone usually that's had an abortion. And, so they are then better equipped to listen or learn how to help their loved ones whenever I do speak to them or help, you know, when I speak publicly, I actually get a lot of people that come to me and ask me about that, how to help their loved ones because they haven't been through the abortion themselves. So, yeah, it's definitely a grief issue, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think that for me, one of the most helpful concepts, because I had an abortion at 23. The relationship did not last. And, you know, I just tried to put my life together afterwards. And as I said, all of my problems were internal. And of course, you know, that means that all of my relationships were affected because I had internal problems going on. But one of the things that only faith in Jesus Christ and only the healing and restoration and comfort of his mercy and his forgiveness and the relief of the guilt allowed me to detach from the loss, you know, because I think that I had attached to the loss because I didn't, that was all I had left of the experience of having been a mother of that child, you know, so I couldn't let it go. And people would say things like, well, do you think you're greater than God's ability to forgive? Well, no, you don't. You don't understand. You know, I know that's very well intentioned, and good theology does heal our emotions. It absolutely does. Spiritual answers bring healing to our emotions. But if you don't recognize that someone has attached to the loss, there's not much that you're going to be able to do to help that person.
Exactly. And when we're talking about, first of all, when we're talking about something such as a sin, and we want, because abortion is a sin, like sin is a sin, and we want God to forgive us for our sins. And we want him to forgive us, and he wants us to forgive everyone else. And so when I first started doing this work, women would say that all the time. I know in my mind, I know, I read in the Bible, God forgive me, I believe that, I know it. But I can't forgive myself. And I was just, and that just for the longest time, I just had to just think in that and ponder that for a long time, probably years, until I finally realized that because it's really what they're saying is I need to accept that he has forgiven me, and then I can forgive myself, because we're not able to forgive ourselves. Forgiveness comes from Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So he has the ability to forgive our sins. We can either accept it or not, and we can block it. And that's what I heard from them when they said, that's the first thing they'd say. By the end of our time together, they would say, I've now accepted his forgiveness, and I can accept my forgiveness. I can forgive myself, and I can accept this, and I can move on. And the detaching part was the other thing. They felt like if I forgave myself, then I'm saying that, well, my baby doesn't matter, and my baby does matter. And that's the importance of going through a healing program, you know, or going through the healing process. I put together programs to help, you know, guide and facilitate the process. But it's so important that we go through the grieving process and accept Jesus Christ's forgiveness. So then we can therefore move on, let it go, and know that our baby is safe in the hands of Jesus in heaven, and that's our hope.
Amen. Amen. And this is it. I mean, this is really it in a nutshell. And if you hear nothing else tonight, if you have been struggling after abortion, if you are trapped in this cycle of guilt and grief, I really hope that you receive what Michelle has just proclaimed to you, because it's true. And as she said, she started programs to help people understand this. It's the reason I wrote my book. There are abortion recovery ministries in almost every pregnancy help center. The purpose of all of it is to help understand what few of us can come to on our own. The not just the mercy of Christ to forgive us, but the grace that he models by receiving these children back to himself. You know, and Michelle, we talk sometimes about, you know, telling the story in a way that helps us know just how far God had to go to bring us back to himself. And in your case, it really was quite a journey. I mean, halfway across the world, right?
He is so funny. I laugh at God all the time. His sense of humor keeps me going, because I ran. And he really didn't want me to keep running with this. He wanted me to stop, and he wanted me to process my abortion experience once and for all. And it happened when I was, as I said earlier, my kids were 2 and 3 years old, and we were then living in Balikpapan, Indonesia, all the way across the world in Indonesia. And I had time then. I had a lot of time. And I started leading Bible study groups. How ironic, you know, we always feel like, yeah, we're going to lead everyone else, but we're the ones who really, really need it. You know, God loves to do that to us. And I love that part. Walking with the Lord for so long, I became a Christian at 21, and that's when I knew He forgave me for my sins and He forgave me for my abortion. But this was about 9 years later. I still hadn't accepted that forgiveness for myself. Okay. And I was like, I know I need to deal with this. And so I started leading Bible study groups, and through that, He slowly, just like that onion, peeled away layer by layer and just started healing me slowly over the years. And that was 1995. And by 2000, I was like ready to announce everything. I was like, I have to go and tell everyone God just did for me. God just healed me from my abortion. If He can heal me from abortion, He can heal anybody from anything. I was just like, I had to share. It was this burning desire in my heart. But again, God's timing, you know. And so He moved us to Sugar Land, Texas, and I still had a desire, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. Back then, in 2001, I heard a radio advertisement for the world's largest baby shower. So I called them, and I went to visit them, and my heart was just drawn there. I began counseling there, and almost every girl that I sat with or woman I sat with was either had an abortion or was wanting to have an abortion. And God just kept sending them to me through there, and they'd walk out, and then there was no program. So it just was hurting my heart that I never knew if they could be healed. And I know they could, you know, because I had. So then the time came, and I was able to start that group there in the pregnancy center in Houston, Texas. And that's when a lady came in, and she was a producer of a movie, and that's when Holly's story was created and produced.
And it's still out there, and there are study guides, and it's in use to help teens make good choices around their sexual behavior. And how lovely is that, if our story can prevent anyone else from suffering? It's just one. And you actually started a pregnancy center in Indonesia in your time there. Is that right?
I started in Houston, the groups there. Then we were there for a few years. We moved back to Indonesia. So the second go round, I already knew the language, and I had already been helping at the pregnancy center in Houston. So I used those skills, and I brought that along with a lot of donations from a lot of people that were supporting Tears for Treasures back then, and shopped at Goodwill and just brought back a lot of things, resources for those people. And the first adoption that took place in that pregnancy center, I rented this place. It's called a Ruko. Oh, gosh. And I rented it and remodeled it. I think the Ruko is a Ruko. It's Indonesian, but it's an office with a house on top. So if you live in Indonesia, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And so I remodeled it, made it so beautiful as I could for these women to feel special. And this one girl had to place her baby for adoption, and they asked me if I would hand him over to the adoptee, the parents that were adopting him. And I said, I would be honored to. And I knew enough to speak in Indonesian a little bit to say a few things. And I had no say.
Hold that thought, because we're at a hard break, and I want to hear those words you said. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back. Okay. Our guest, Michelle Durant, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio.
After abortion, Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much. We are live tonight, and our phones are open if you would like to join us at 1-800-811-3003. If you have a question for our guest, Michelle Durand, who has served in an international capacity in the pregnancy health community and has created programs to help others heal after abortion through her ministry called Tears to Treasures. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And Michelle, you were talking about this beautiful story of an adoption because of the pregnancy help work that you had accomplished in Indonesia and the meaningfulness of when the actual adoption took place. Please continue with that story that we had to interrupt for a break there.
They asked me if I would be, if I would hand the baby to the parents that were adopting him in honor of the girl who had placed him for adoption. She became a really close dear friend of mine because I loved her baby, and she saw that. So I said yes, and I was able to just hold him near my heart and say a few words of blessings over him and the family as a family unit before I placed him in their loving arms. But I wanted to know his name, and I didn't have any say in the name. I wasn't asked for any ideas, and they were Indonesian. And so when I asked what his name was, from Louisiana, the ask is going to come out, what his name was, they said Joshua. And that is the name that I chose for my son, whom I aborted. His name is Joshua David. So I just felt like it was such a just another beautiful treasure from God that I got him. Yeah, I got him. And all of our babies are with God. And so, you know, I really encourage anyone who's listening to take that next step if you haven't already named your baby. And I know a lot of people get stuck because they feel like, I don't know if it's a boy and girl. Well, you know what? I didn't know for sure either. But I prayed about it, and God will let you know what you need to know. And there sometimes just comes a time where you just have to just go with what you feel it was and give that baby a name. Because, or give it a generic name. But, I mean, the baby, I feel like once you name your baby, it becomes that special person to you, and it's no longer considered an it or an experience.
Right. That vague sense that there was another life involved, but it wasn't really a boy or a girl or a baby. Michelle Durand is our guest. 800-811-3003 is our number. And Michelle, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts about this, because when you described the process of going into abortion, you were a teen. It was an unplanned pregnancy. And you said you stepped up and decided that this would be problem solving, you know, that this would be the best thing for everybody. And then you were angry in the aftermath, you know, and just looking for someone to blame. I'd like to hear you just discuss what, if you feel that you had the support that you needed to make that kind of a choice. I know you said, yeah, things were so different. It was never discussed afterwards, but it probably wasn't discussed. You probably weren't telling a lot of people you were pregnant. I mean, when folks will hear, you know, a story like yours or even like mine, they'll say, well, yep, she just did that because that's what she wanted. But that's not really the full story, is it?
I see what you're saying. It's kind of like,
I applaud you for stepping up and saying, okay, I did this, you know, I take responsibility. But that's, like I say, let's, you know, tell me more about this, how it actually unfolded.
Well, it's so always so complicated because there's so many different emotions that come along with that decision. And I'm trying to retract to see exactly what your question is.
Sure. Well, so, you know, people will say, and I encounter this, I want to give you a chance to help people understand what actually happens when a woman's faced with this decision. Yes. Especially, you know, a young woman, because although it sounds like you were maybe mature for your age, you were a teenager. You were not fully grown. You were not, you know, an adult. And it doesn't sound like you involved, you know, the people who were supporting you in your life with that decision. You just, you know, you took hold of it and went forward with it. And I think people sometimes when they went on from the outside looking in, it's like, well, either, okay, that, you know, not necessarily you, but, you know, so this person was just hard-hearted, or this person was just convenient. So this person, you know, they'll label that and they don't get it. They don't understand what, what you're really saying there with what actually went on.
And that's exactly what blocks people from getting help.
Right, it's pro-life people or church people saying, you know, misjudging what really.
Yeah, that's what you did. Yeah, like, well, it was your choice. It was your choice. They think it was our choice, and that's what I was. That's what grabbed my attention. That's what grabbed my heart when you were talking. You know, yeah, it is our choice. Absolutely, it's everyone's choice, and I'm totally about that. Like, no one, people are free to choose what they want. They answer to God alone. So. During that decision process, it is never easy. So, you know, before the abortion, like people, yeah, I do. It's hard for me now to step out of that role because I've been in a pregnancy center role, you know, so many years. And, but, and in that role, we see people who they really don't want deep down inside to have an abortion. But maybe they do. Sometimes they do. But my, for me personally, it was a difficult decision. But there were a lot of factors that were around and involved in that decision that kind of pointed me into my decision to go with the abortion. And that was based on some of the choices of the people around me in my life that during that time, you know what I mean? But they were teenagers themselves. They didn't really, you know, so for me, I didn't choose to share with adults what was happening in my life, really. So it just friends. So I chose who I shared with, just like many people do now. And but at the end of the day, this is what I've learned in my life. At the end of the day, we are responsible for the choices that we do make. And we also have to deal with consequences sometimes of choices that we don't make for things that happen to us. But we still have a choice not to be a victim and to stand up, no matter if it is our decision or not, and to own it, take responsibility, have awareness, and realize that this is what I did, but I need to move forward now. So what do I need to do now? Pick myself up and heal and deal with my emotions, how whatever they are, and quit hurting myself, quit punishing myself, quit getting into abusive relationships because I think I deserve that. I don't. God died on the cross for all of us. We are worthy of his forgiveness. And he already suffered enough for us. And so I had to come to a realization that I didn't need to continue to self-punish myself and put myself in self-punishing relationships and make healthy decisions and healthy choices at that point forward.
Yeah, and I think that's really important to say. And I agree with you. You know, I talk a lot about accountability. And when you first started, if you're just joining us, our guest is Michelle Durand, and she works in abortion recovery for men and women through her ministry, Tears to Treasures. And, you know, you talked about you were angry in the aftermath, and and what angry people, you know, do is they look for someone to blame. And I think that, you know, blame is always off the mark. It keeps us stuck. It cripples us. You know, I love the Rick Warren quote that says blame is spelled be lame. You know, it's just, yeah. It just is, it keeps you focused on the problem rather than finding your solutions and looking to God to, you know, sort it out, if you will. But I mean, I like to talk about accountability because we're responsible for our part in it. And as you said, you know, we're not responsible for the wrongs that others did. We're not responsible for the deception that may have been presented to us. We're not responsible for the fact that, you know, the adults in our life maybe were giving us a little more freedom than they should have been. You know, we're not responsible for that. I'm not saying that our parents are to blame, but there's accountability. And I think this for me has been such a helpful concept to help people understand, you know, because we, I think we swing after abortion, Michelle, from it's all my fault or it's all their fault. It's, you know, it's very hard to just be rational and take a kind of a, you know, a reasoned look at the whole experience.
Exactly, because I feel like the emotions surrounding an abortion are so strong. I mean, I've been around people that were dealing with grief and other grief issues, and I can tell you that this, when it comes to doing the work with people who've had abortions, it's different. It is definitely a lot of strong emotions there. And in working with women over the years, a lot of them have felt that they were coerced. So in speaking of the anger and accountability part, you know, my situation was, yeah, I chose it. So there are times where women are sitting in front of me and they didn't choose. That's not what they wanted. However, they had to go through with it. And they have a lot of anger as well. And so it's my role at that point to just help them to see that you can't go back. I mean, there's women who were raped and had to have they were told they had to have an abortion. So I want to stop right now and just say, if that's been you, I'm so sorry that you have been through any kind of hurt or pain that led you to an abortion. My heart breaks for these women. And I want to just acknowledge them. We hear your voice, and I wish they would call in because their voice was silenced, and they don't need to be silenced. You know, I help them to see that I'm sorry this was done to you, but this is not who you are, and this is not who you need to be. So you can't. It doesn't mean it's right. And by you forgiving that person, it does not mean that what they did is okay. It means that it's no longer going to have a hold on you, and you will be the one to set your heart free from them.
Well, and also, you know, that whole dynamic of blaming yourself. You know, I shouldn't have been in that place. I shouldn't have said yes to that ride. Whatever it is, you know, as I understand it, it's mostly a defense mechanism because it's too terrifying to think that, you know, tragic things like this can just happen to us. It's actually easier, right, to feel like I did it, yeah. I brought it on, you know, but that doesn't help us heal either. So, wow, I'm so glad you said that, Michelle, because we know how common that experience is, and we know that there are probably listeners who were impacted by it. Let's give a chance to call here. This is probably last call. We've got about 15 minutes remaining on the program, and we'll take a short break. We'll give you a chance to get to the phone. It's a toll-free number. There's no charge for the call, 1-800-811-3003, with Michelle Durant, our guest tonight on Cradle My Heart Radio. Won't you join us?
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. It's encouragement and hope for your daily journey.
The good interviews, I like that. And I love all of the Bible programs with David Jeremiah and so on, and Susie Larson in the afternoon. If you're looking for another option, that you can just get some really good programs, is what I would tell somebody.
Connecting your faith to everyday life. Faith Radio.
Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God Himself, the third person of the Trinity. So to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is to be drenched or to be saturated or to be soaked or to be filled with the very life of God Himself.
Pastor Colin Smith explains how you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit on the next Unlocking the Bible.
Mornings at 8 a.m. Central Time on Faith Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
That's our number, and we're here for you. Our phones are open, and our guest, Michelle Durant, is very open to your questions. She's a life and business coach and founder of Tears to Treasures, and she's engaged in helping women and men find healing and closure from past abortion experiences. Michelle, tell me about particular passages of scripture, Bible verses that were helpful to you or that you use in your work with women and men who need God's love after abortion?
My favorite is always Jeremiah. I don't have them all on the top of my head right now. So sorry. But Jeremiah, is it 29:11? You're calling me out here, girl. Help me out.
Oh, well, so, yeah, no. That's not my intent at all. You started to say it, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future and to prosper you and not to harm you, right? I think it's Jeremiah 29:11 or 15, one or the other. I don't have it off the top of my head either. Well, and you've already shared the Bible concepts, you know, that are helpful, but I just wanted to give you a chance, you know, if you think, because sometimes when I talk with people, you know, I help them to see that, you know, it's some of the verses that have been so helpful to me have included, you know, Jesus saying it's the truth that sets us free. I mean, I struggled for so long, Michelle, with self-help books, okay? Just trying to fix myself, right? And trying to never get at the problem, never really disclose it, never really confide in anybody about it. Maybe I'll find it in the next book. Maybe it'll be the next talk show, you know, on back in the day when they used to do problem talk shows on TV, you know? And none of that helped. But when the truth, because I wasn't a Christian when I had the abortion and I didn't know Christ in those years when I was trying to recover from it, when the truth of who he is and what he's done for us on the cross, you know, was made clear to me, and when the Holy Spirit revealed it to me and I believed, I was given the gift of faith and then the gift of repentance, it was, oh, now I see I don't need to even feel any of those emotions. It's not that they even, it's like, the truth really did set me free. It really did. And anybody listening, if you're struggling trying to fix your emotions, maybe you're in counseling, maybe you're on antidepressants, I'm not saying any of those things are wrong and not helpful, but I'm saying, you know, if you aren't engaged in a serious pursuit of truth through the, you know, scripture and listening to good preaching and being, as Michelle said, in a recovery setting somehow where God's word is being poured into you, you know, just the emotions follow the spiritual truth. I really believe that's so.
Yes. One of the scriptures that I always, always love, and we just always started every session with this, is from Matthew 5:4, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because during the time when they come together, it's to mourn. It's to mourn that baby that's been lost. And so I just like them to remember that they're blessed and they will be comforted as they mourn their babies.
Michelle, you've been very public. You've spoken at Silent No More events, I think. But I know you've spoken publicly. I've seen some of your videos that you have posted on YouTube. I know I think you worked with the Justice Foundation through Operation Outcry to file an affidavit. How do you find that strength? And you know, you said, oh, I'm healed. I want everybody to know. If it happened for me, it can happen for you. But tell me a little bit about that process.
That strength is Jesus Christ. And it's his Holy Spirit. And I just, you know, I allow him to speak through me. I just try to, you know, I went to the first Walk for Life that I spoke at was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Well, it was the Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It was their first Walk for Life they ever had. And it was so monumental to me because I was living back in my home state of Louisiana and during the time when they were putting together the first Walk for Life. So I approached the director and I offered to be a woman speaker there. And he said, I would love to have you speak and offer Tears to Treasure services. So I went there and there was over 3,000 people out there. And I knew that God had a message. I didn't know what it was because they were already pro-life people, you know, out there. And so it was, I honestly didn't know what I was going to say until I watched the video after. And it was whatever message he had for them, those people, and whoever continues to watch the video, because it'll just continue to spread that we share the message of hope that, yes, abortion is murder, and, yes, abortion takes the life of our children. We know those things, but there are people out there hurting. 1 out of 3 women have had abortions. So people are hurting, and they need to know where to get help. And the places like what we're doing aren't always going to find their way into their ears or their in front of their face, you know. So it's important that people help us share and spread the word, because I can get the strength to speak out, and, you know, I can have Jesus to help me do those things and live out my passion and my calling. But everyone has the same thing within them. They just need to tap into it, and it'll help them reach out and get whatever they need or to start speaking out. If God's been calling on, pressing on their heart to speak out, there's people now that he needs their voice. That's why he sent them here. We all have a purpose, and everyone's purpose isn't the same. Everyone's not called to speak out publicly. There's women who serve, who've been through my programs, and they want to serve, but their thing is to not speak, and that's fine. And they ask me, does it mean I'm not healed? Absolutely not. That just means you're not called to do that, you know, but you're going to serve in some other capacity. And then they go on to serve in other areas the way God wants them to.
Amen. And I think that it's really important that you say that, you know, it takes strength to speak, but not everybody is called to do it. And I think that, you know, what I believe is true is that it should be possible for you to speak when it's appropriate. And when there's someone who should know, or who, you know, who you want to be able to share it with, that somehow you would be healed enough to be able to share it privately in your conversations when that matter to you personally. You know, I mean, I think that's the thing that we're driving for. And all of that's got to happen before anybody should be speaking publicly, I think, just, you know, to protect yourself and to protect your important relationships as well. Michelle Duran is our guest. Tears to Treasures is her ministry, and she's been sharing about her own recovery after abortion and then how she passes that along to others. And I think the other thing you've said, Michelle, that is so important is if you are able to speak, it becomes very, very important to the people who hear what you have to say, because it was someone saying to me, I had an abortion, that allowed me to say, so did I. And for her to then listen, and this is where my healing really began. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry, but I love what you're saying. I love that, because that's exactly what was coming to me as you were speaking. That when I started to share, this is the only reason we share, is that when I started sharing, then others started opening up, and they came to me and said, I had an abortion too, but no one knows. And I'd walk away thinking, oh, so only because, and these are people I knew, I had known for years. I thought only because I shared my secret, then they felt safe to share their secret with me. And so, and that is how the healing begins. And that is the importance of us speaking out, getting healed, being able to share from a place of being healed and whole again, and help others to find some healing and wholeness as well, wherever they are. Like you said, there's resources in every state now, and there's virtually from, they can do it from the privacy of their own home on their computer. There's no excuses to not find that healing that they can get just by asking for it now. And so once we start sharing our stories, if we all shared our stories with a few people, just think how many people we could all reach if we just shared with one each day and they sought healing.
Amen. And it truly is life-saving as well. I mean, I think that we definitely can warn others. And I think that that's part of the beauty of God's plan of redemption, is that we don't have all the answers, but we can reach back and help those that are just a little bit behind us on the road to healing. And Michelle, you certainly do that in your work, and I applaud you for it. And I thank you for taking time on your Sunday evening to join us. We really appreciate you being with us. Michelle Duran is the founder of Tears to Treasures, and her website is tearstotreasures.com. And we have it linked at cradlemyheart.org. And I hope that you'll visit and consider supporting her organization. I want to thank you, too, for all the support given to us during the holiday fundraising season for cradlemyheart.org. We fell a little bit short of our fundraising goal. goals, but for everyone who gave, we thank you and we appreciate you, and we're trusting God for the increase in the coming year. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week. We'll be here. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.